brother.
God,
what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother,
I can dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Sam. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. Another day in paradise, don't
yeah,
you know?
Well, yeah, it's the best you can say is we get another chance to be on the earth. Because the way it is right now, the climate is not very good here, but it's going to get better.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you got two or three more days of this, and the average should be 59 degrees. And
that sounds more like it to me.
Yeah, but I think by, you know, we'll be in May next week. So, you know, this should be the end of it. You know, I don't foresee 34 degrees or 29 degrees in May. I don't think I've ever witnessed that or been a part of it.
Wisconsin likes to keep you on your toes, though. You never know.
Yeah, we're going to be safe. So anyway, I'm going to be joined in the 9 o'clock hour by Professor Bob Harvey from Charlotte, North Carolina. He is a professor of many different disciplines. But I want to begin my show with a somber, conversation about the city in which I live and have lived now for the better part of 67 years. And as I witness, you know, 71 murders in, this is still in April. And it would be different if we were talking about New Orleans, Detroit, you know, Baltimore, cities that have been known for being the murder capitals of the world. And I didn't say of Milwaukee. I mean, of America. I said of the world. You know, more people are murdered in the United States than any other nation on earth. And unfortunately, in central cities across the nation, the deaths just continue to go on unabated. It is safe to say, and it has been safe to say for a number of decades, that it is safer to live in the theater of some wars than it is to live in central cities across this nation. And that is just a flat-out embarrassment that this nation knows that genocide is taking place in central cities across this nation, and not a lot of hues and cries about the fact that these deaths are going on, be escalating every year, getting worse, and it's not made a priority in this society. You know, I don't. And I'm going to talk with Professor Bob Harvey in the 9 o'clock hour about Ukraine and many other things. But I'm also going to talk with him and ask him about the continued slaughters that happen in central cities across the nation. Over the past weekend in the city of Milwaukee, 22 people were shot. And only through the grace of, you know, God, that were there only three that were murdered. You know, people were just bad shots because there was an attempted 22 assassinations in our city. And unfortunately, a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old that's in critical condition, a 14-year-old, 17-year-olds, the women, you know, girls, children, and this goes on and on and on, and it has been something that, you know, It's been a horrible, horrible stain on this city for a long time. I always like to go back to a time that I remember when this was Milwaukee was a safe place. And as a young boy, I could play outside to midnight if I chose to, right outside of our home. My mom would never allow us to do it, though. We could go to the playgrounds and feel safe, and was a safe neighborhood. It was akin to living in the suburb. The city of Milwaukee, which is now approaching one of the worst cities in the entire nation in order to raise a family, especially a black family. There are many reasons why. We know that the lack of really affordable opportunities for people to be able to work and raise families and do all the things that, you know, is provided to many in this society that supposedly makes it one of the greatest places on earth. But we also know that there are other issues that are going on, and many of them are drug-related. It's nothing new that the majority of the killings used to always be about drug dealers who were either fighting each other over turf or a bad deal going bad. Those things we've witnessed for decades. And so you could at least put your finger on that and say, well, we know why. Okay, it used to be that you could put your finger on why so many people were being murdered in this city, and always it was the underworld. But not today. I'm not saying that the drug dealers aren't still doing what they're doing. They're still plying their trades. They're still causing carnage based on bad deals or the fact that somebody else is dealing in their turf. You know, that's the low-hanging fruit. And that's the kind of thing that it's easy to fix, you know, easier to fix, I should say, than the other kinds of death and deaths that are taking place across our city and cities like Milwaukee across this nation. And it is now based, many of these, based on the fact that somebody doesn't get along with somebody else. Somebody's got a bone to pick with somebody else. Somebody said something on Facebook about me that I don't like. And so I don't know how to control myself. You know, my life and the development of my character, of who I am, has been retarded. And so I don't know. I'm an adult. I should know better. But I don't know. So my response is going to be something that should have always been dealt with, minor, something that should never elevate itself to the point to where somebody is going to pick up a gun and murder someone, has now become the first option, as opposed to no option at all. But behind all of those things is the continued easy access to weaponry. And, you know, you can say all you want to, well, guns don't kill people, people kill people. But of those 22 attempted murders in the city of Milwaukee from Friday till Sunday evening, all 22 were because somebody had a firearm that they decided made them powerful and gave them the right to take somebody else's life. Without those firearms, you know, we wouldn't be talking about it. Well, yeah, maybe, you know, you'll hear people say, well, you know, if they don't have a gun, they'll find a knife. Well, you know, I'd like to see that opportunity that, you know, that they don't have that kind of accessibility to the guns, and it's a whole lot harder to take a knife and try to take somebody's life than it is to take a gun and stand far away and pull the trigger. But I got to tell you, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, you just wonder at the rate things are going. in our city. When is it going to be somebody that I know and somebody that I love? It's inevitable at the rate that it is going now. And so we're going to talk a little bit after the break about plans and initiatives and all those things that people have been talking about for years that haven't worked. Because instead of the murder rate going down, it's continuing to escalate. You know, I'm not going to sit here in a sanctimonious fashion because I'm on a radio station and talk as if I have all the answers. I don't, you know. And I'm not going to sit here and point the finger at others who are trying to do the work in this community. Work that has, that at the root of it, has been a society that has chosen to ignore all of the things that have produced the climate that has caused all of this mayhem. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I am talking about what is, in fact, just a horrific, horrific weekend that occurred in the city of Milwaukee. This past weekend, over 22 shootings, and fortunately, only three deaths. Unfortunately, part of those three deaths were very young children. And, well, one young lady is 13 years old, a 17-year-old, a 19-year-old. So, I mean, you know, these are things and situations that have become all too familiar in our city, in cities like Milwaukee, all over the nation. I want to say that I'm hearing people ask, you know, what is the mayor going to do? And it angers me to no end that a guy who just became the mayor officially a week or two ago is now being asked, what is your plan to fix, you know, what has produced 22 shootings in a three-day weekend and 71 murders since the beginning of the year? To point the finger at Cavalier Johnson is cowardly, number one. And anybody who does that clearly should not be respected at all. And microphones should not be put in their faces. Television cameras should not be put in their faces, because anybody who thinks that one man, one person, is going to be able to change what is happening in this city and what has happened in this city over the last 50 years is a coward, because nobody is going to be able to come in and fix what is wrong with what's happening in central cities across this nation, especially this one, overnight. God Almighty can't come in and fix what is at the root of the hate and the rot that is going on in central cities and like Milwaukee. Now, you know, there are some entities. Let's see. Let's kind of do this. Over the last 3 years, we've got a brand. We've got a different sheriff, a new sheriff. Really, last 2 years, we've got a black person, a new county executive over the last year, a black person. We've got a black superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools. We've got a new black police chief just recently, 6 months maybe 8 months. A black chairman of our county board. All of the positions of, you know, in most instances, city government, county government, leading in those positions are people of color. Many black judges, we're going to be having many of them on the airways here on my show. But to think that one person is going to be able to fix this is foolhardy. And anybody who is pointing their finger and saying that needs to be dismissed immediately as somebody who is not serious. Now, there 11 years ago, or 14 years ago, there was an entity created in the city of Milwaukee called the Office of Violence Prevention. And it came with great fanfare. There was a man here, who was from Milwaukee. His name is Reggie Moore. And he had spent time in Washington, D.C. and other places, and he kind of saw, you know, what they were doing, and he was able to bring it back to Milwaukee and replicate it. And then Mayor Tom Barrett, the Office of Violence Prevention, which had always been here before Reggie Moore came and reinvented it, was really nothing more than, you know, window dressing. And nobody could say anything about it. Nobody could tell who the person was that was running it. It was basically just an office that was one of the cabinet positions, I think, in the city, in Tom Barrett's cabinet. Well, you know, Reggie Moore came with great fanfare and created 414, a pamphlet or a booklet that was developed by many people in the know in the city that really got down to the root of what was causing the conflicts and inside the city and all of those things. And it was rolled out as a great model of how to address many of the issues that were causing the pain and the killing that were taking place in our community. Fast forward to today, Reggie Moore is no longer at the head of the Office of Violence Prevention. He has moved on. But needless to say, the Office of Violence Prevention is not better because of the loss of Reggie Moore. And I'm not pointing a finger at, you know, the young lady who has taken his place. I've had an opportunity to interview her a couple times, have her on my show, and she's certainly a bright young lady. But for anybody who thinks that the Office of Violence Prevention is somehow going to be able to prevent 71 murders, and I don't know how many shootings in our community, you know, has a screw loose. And yeah, you know, their budget has been about $3.5 million in the past. People might say that was a lot of money, but certainly it was not enough money to do what was necessary to try to turn back what is now a runaway truck. And that is the violence that is in our community, that has entered in our community over the last 30 years and has been ignored for the most part by those political leaders and business leaders who focus solely on making Milwaukee, you know, as my good friend Robert Miranda would say, Camelot. they've done a great job of, you know, making downtown Milwaukee Camelot. It's beautiful. It has really been transformed. And I'm not saying that that didn't need to happen. It certainly did need to happen because, you know, downtown is the heartbeat of almost any city, as it should have been for the city of Milwaukee. So they've done a great job with that, but they've done a poor, poor job of addressing what has happened in the parts of the other parts of the city that have been just hell on earth if you lived in any of those neighborhoods and areas. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm talking about what is a tragedy of epic magnitude. When you look and see that since January 1st, that we're talking about 71 people that have been murdered in the city of Milwaukee. At the rate we are talking about now, there'll be well over 300 who will have been murdered in the city of Milwaukee. And per capita, when you look at that, Milwaukee is probably going to be, if not the number one or number two per capita murder rate in the nation, we're going to be number one, number two, number three. And Milwaukee is a much smaller city than New York and other places, and yet this is what is taking place, and it's safe to say that well over 85 to 90% of those murders will be of black people. And even though in the entire state of Wisconsin we only make up 5% of the population, to see that the rate of murders that we represent far outpace that of almost any other population in this nation. Now, you know, I was talking about the Office of Violence Prevention before I went on break. And the Office of Violence Prevention, again, came in with great fanfare. And people thought that somehow it was going to be able to bridge the gap to all of the problems and issues that face far too many people in a society who have given up hope and don't think that there's any way possible that they're going to be able to live in this society and they can't. They don't know how, and everything they do seems to point as if they are not going to be able to become a successful member of the society. So when you find people who are at wit's end, and they're everywhere, and they're in everybody's families, and yet, you know, the sheer numbers of people who are in this society who don't fit, and then have access to weaponry, is what is at the root of all of these killings for the most part. And also people who just do not have the capacity, the mental capacity, to live in a society. Because what else would you say makes a person who has a girlfriend And he doesn't, the girl tells him that, you know, that's it, I'm done with you. I wanna move on. And he can't handle that. And so what does he do? He goes and gets a gun. Well, if I can't have you, nobody will have you. And takes a life. I mean, what kind of person would do that? Well, there are many people like that in the society. And what makes it so easy to take the life is, again, that person having access to guns. Now, to think that anybody, the Office of Violence Prevention or whatever the name you want to call it or any other entity like it, is somehow going to prevent that is foolhardy. You know, and so there's a talk show host in the city of Milwaukee who wants to point the finger and directly blame the Office of Violence Prevention for these continued murders that are going on in our community. I quote, this person said, with violent crime and homicides going up each year of the pandemic in Milwaukee, it is critical of the Office of Violence Prevention's efforts, especially now that its funding is being bolstered. When you have areas that have a lot of violence and crime, you've got to roll up your sleeves, get directly involved, and build a bridge with the community to help them fight against what they're dealing with in the neighborhoods, he said. Milwaukee's Office of Violence Prevention launched 14 years ago as another way for the city to cut down on shootings and save lives. Its annual budget is $3.7 million, but that's before the American Rescue Plan Act funds came into play. It's getting $8.4 million from the state and another $3 million from the city's allocation over 5 years. But, you know, that's a drop in the bucket. When you are talking about the sheer lives of people who have basically given up, and to think that a small entity like the Office of Violence Prevention is somehow with what right now, I think they've got 8 people employed, is somehow going to be all over this city and dealing with the sheer numbers of people whose lives are tormented and drug and alcohol and mental illness, that somehow 8 people are going to be the people who are going to correct this is ridiculous, you know. And yet, you know, I can say this honestly. As somebody who's lived in the city for 67 years, you know, I know Milwaukee. I have a PhD in the city of Milwaukee, you know. I do. And my PhD is not piled high and deep. My PhD is based on how I've seen the deterioration of the community in which I live over those 67 years. And to now somehow all of a sudden see it all coming apart at the seams did not happen overnight. You can go all over this nation and look at central cities, and in many instances, you'll see the exact same thing going on. So this is a national issue that should be dealt with on a national plane. And the answer is not law enforcement. And yet, that's what the conversation continues to be. You know, politically, people need to sit down and understand what produced this? Again, the lack of opportunities. We know it. We are right now, you know, the American people, hearts are being broken because of a war in Ukraine. But, you know, no hue and cry for 6, 7, 8-year-old babies being murdered in this country. Every day, you know, I could actually say every minute of every hour of every day, these murders are taking place of children and others. And you're not hearing it on a national scale. Why? American citizens. Yes, there's a reason why. And it's been going on for far too long in this nation. And people ignore it. And they ignore it because it's happening to people of color. Well, you guys are killing yourselves. Well, no, you know, that may be the case. You know, but what produced it? Who do we have on the line, Sam?
CJ's calling from Stoughton.
Okay, what's going on, man?
Hi, Earl. I'm sorry to bum you out and call, but thank you for
Let me say this first, man. I, you know, I'm not going to tolerate any nonsense, you know, but go ahead.
Well, let's talk facts then. Your party,
So that's nonsense, man. Let me tell you again.
That's a fact.
Now, listen, man. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you the facts. Democrat or Republican has not changed what is going on in central cities across this nation. That's the fact. Okay? So, especially when it comes to people of color. That's the fact.
How about Tim Scott, Earl?
Let me tell you something, man. Don't tell me about Senator Tim Scott. Senator Tim Scott just got there. I'm telling you about something that I've seen develop over the last 50 years. And you have the unmitigated gall to bring up a name, Tim Scott. I'm telling you something is happening all over this nation. And you dare come and tell me something about a weak senator, Republican senator, named Tim Scott.
Well, you know what? He put together a reform bill for police, and you guys dissed it for political issue.
Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for the call. I don't have time for that nonsense. I just told you it has nothing to do with police. Police come after. But you are so jaded, man. You know, you really have only one view of things. And it is such a narrow view. You can't even have a discussion about it because you don't even have your own viewpoint. All you can do is echo what you've heard. Try using your own brain to do your thinking. You don't have an opinion on what I'm talking about now because all you can do is bring up a Tim Scott. And I'm telling you, this has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican, because neither has done anything to fix what is going on in central cities across this nation. And it has nothing to do with Tim Scott creating some kind of we need more police officers. I told you, man, I've lived in this city. I lived in the city of Milwaukee when there was only 700 police officers because there was opportunities. You don't get that. And now when the opportunities dried up, the police force went up to 3,000. So we can't afford to pay the salaries of 3,000 police officers because very few of us are left to own homes to pay their salaries. So don't come with that nonsense. You haven't thought anything through. And you don't have an opinion on this, well, then don't call. But don't call with some nonsense about Tim Scott and the Republicans. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Phone lines are open. Be right back.
Loving you, weather, weather, time's
back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So CJ is back. CJ, if you are going to, I don't mind having a dialogue with you, but I told you I'm not going to accept any nonsensical response like Tim Scott and what Tim Scott did with police. If you don't understand that police don't prevent crime. Police come after the crimes have been prevented. So since you can't comprehend that and others like you can't comprehend that, I don't see where you can add any value to the conversation, but I'll let you back on anyway.
Well, you've been complaining about the same stuff for 40 plus years and voting the same way like the rest of the Black community, Earl, and you know.
Hold on, man. Listen. You come on with a ridiculous statement. You have been voting the same way for 40 years. How do you know I've been voting for 40 years? This is the mentality. This is the mentality of people like you, who have that's correct. Who make statements like you just made? Well, you've been voting
it's
the
factual.
Same. You've been voting the same way for 40 years. You don't know anything about the way I've been voting. So okay. How can it be factual? Because it's in your head. Does not make it factual. That's what's in your head. And whatever in your head is not what.
90%+ of the Black community has voted Democratic for the last 40 years, Earl, and that's a fact. You can deny it. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you were smart enough not to. Well, and you criticize me for bringing up Tim Scott. He created opportunity zones in his state, in the inner city that
CJ, I don't need you to tell me about Tim Scott. I knew about Tim Scott before he got to where he is. I know more about Tim Scott than you'll ever know. So you can't educate me on certain things. I'm not saying I can't be educated, but you certainly can't educate me on Tim Scott and what's happening in the Black community. Thank you very much for the call. Who do we have up next, Sam?
L.A. Tom's calling in.
Hey, L.A. Tom, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Earl, first off, good morning.
Good morning.
We the people are the government, or we're supposed to be. And
Tom is one of we the people, right? I mean, excuse me.
Exactly.
CJ is one of we the people.
CJ should be. I don't know what his issue is, except for the fact that he just wants to put everyone in his little bubble and whatever he heard.
He doesn't know.
Him and Dave, whatever it is that they heard on their TV or whatever it is, it's just another parrot that's just repeating the same talking point. Which is why Republicans are good. They're good with messaging.
CJ,
it's the income equality, stupid. That's what the issue is. Yes, there's a lot of other issues. But the income disparity that has happened in this country, just take during the pandemic alone. You got now billionaires fighting billionaires. Hopefully they'll kill each other. I don't know. That's what's happening. The politicians are owned because of the Citizens United decision. And you got a lot of some politicians that are in there that are just trying to make a buck for themselves, I guess. They probably feel like, you know, I can't do anything. I'm out to make some money on that for myself. The whole system is messed up. And it's all a big game. And what's his name says, we're not a part of it. George Carlin says it's all a big game and we're just not a part of it. I just hope that honestly this purchase of Twitter by Elon Musk, and because of the fact that it's such a big thing on social media and everywhere, that I hope that it starts waking people up and gets people to quit voting against their own best interests and actually vote against these billionaires. Because, gang, we are no longer a democracy. We are complete oligarchy. and we are completely in the hands of the owner group. Just like I used the example this morning, and I have before, of fantasy football. They give you guys all a little piece. They make you feel like an owner. Ooh, you're big. You get to, choose which team or which player is the best one and all this kind of stuff. It's like all they're trying to do is make you into little mini oligarchs. Hey. So therefore, you can control your universe. Hey, and hey. I'll tell you what, it needs to end. And we need to get some income equality in this country. And we need to start at the grassroots. We basically probably need to restart this whole government all over again, honestly.
Hey, Tom. Man, thank you very much for the call. I agree with you. You know, I just, you know, CJ and guys like him just can't even comprehend. He lives in such a bubble. I don't know where he lives, but wherever he lives, I'm pretty sure that he doesn't get to see people of color very often. And then when people like him want to spot out as if they know, you know, what's going on. And, you know, what's going on is that you guys have been voting Democrat all the time. I told you. Doesn't matter. Democrat, Republican has not changed the reality in the community in which I live. Oh, well, Tim Scott, who, man, you know, it's just a waste of time. You aren't in a position to do anything to change what I'm talking about. Okay? You're not. You're the average Joe. And I'm the average Joe. But I'm not stupid enough to think that, you know, what I say, if I didn't have this microphone, would change anything. But what changed things a little bit more for me than you, CJ, is the power of these airwaves that I've been entrusted with. And I want to make it clear, entrusted with. Not to say something that's so crazy, you know. And the owner of this radio station trusts that I won't do that, you know. And I open the door for everybody, even you, to give you an opportunity to come on. But don't come on, you know, continuing to pontificate as if you know something about what is going on in the neighborhood and in the community where I live. You don't. You have no concept, no idea. Like, I don't know what's going on where you live. I'm not going to be so arrogant and brass to talk about what's happening in your neighborhood, man. That's ignorance. I don't know. But you arrogantly act as if you know. Man, you don't. You know, if we want to talk about what's going on globally and some of those kind of things, hey, man, fine. I'll hear what you have to say. But I'm not going to take heed to anything that comes out of your mouth about as serious an issue that I'm talking about that is taking place, life and death, with Americans that you don't know anything about. So, you know, you want to talk about the rest of it, fine. But I'm not going to tolerate the foolishness that you just talked about a minute ago. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by my good friend, Professor Bob Harvey from Charlotte, North Carolina. And we're going to talk about a whole array of things. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Sing with me, y'all.
One word, one word.
We only got
one word, one word.
That's all we got.
One word, one word.
If something's wrong with it, something's wrong with it. Something's wrong with the good world, world. Yeah, we only got